The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
This is my little nugget of that I find interesting. The Gathering. Remember The Gathering in 2013 that encouraged people to visit this country? They're bringing it back. It was so successful. And this year they're calling it the Year of the Invitation. What an awful name. Anyway, 087 1400 106. Pascal Donoghue with me on that front a little bit later. Des Bishop is with me now. Des, the Year of the Invitation. I mean, it applies. You're coming back. This is great.
I was just going to say, I'm so happy to be part of the Year of the Invitation. the Cade Mille Falcha.
You got to get on that. You got to get. This is a bandwagon now for you to jump on, you know?
Honestly, I'm just enjoying the nostalgia. I had completely forgotten about The Gathering until you said it there seconds ago.
Yeah, we had a conversation outside. I saw this, The Year of the Invitation. I had to turn around and ask someone else. I said, what was the name of that thing back in the recession where they asked everyone to visit the country? I couldn't remember it.
Honestly, if you had, I don't even think I would have remembered that there was a thing. But The Gathering, though, immediately I was like, oh, yeah, do you remember that? But, you know. In fairness, that was 2013. I really feel like that was like the turning point year of like hope returning. So maybe they were right.
Yeah, perhaps they were. I don't know what they're hoping to achieve with the Year of the Invitation. We'll ask the government ministers when they're with us later on. So listen, I mentioned you are coming back. You're back in the next couple of weeks, I think, starting in Cork. Isn't that right?
Yeah, next Thursday week. I'm back, flying out this day next week. And I was back already before Christmas. I've started to sort of do this show already. So I'm not like away as much as it seems.
And I know the kind of set piece events are in the Olympia, as it were. You're all over the country, but there's three dates we should mention, because the 28th has been sold out. So people who maybe were trying to get tickets and are disappointed will want to hear this. There's still a handful left for the 26th, but because of the popularity, the 27th, February 27th, there's an extra date added for the three Olympia. So ticketmaster.ie if you want to get your hands on those tickets. What's it like kind of getting out of the States given the kind of political atmosphere there at the moment? Is there kind of a sense of respite?
I knew you were going to ask me about that straight away. No, I mean, honestly, the way I feel is that the whole world is on American politics. So actually, you know what happened? When I went back to Ireland, it was just before the election the last time I was back. Mm. And actually, I feel like Irish people were more plugged in to the American election than like my life in America. Maybe because obviously they want to talk to me about it because I just came. But like the whole time they were like, I think Trump's going to get in. And I was like, no, he's not. No, he's not. What, are you crazy? And I was wrong. So I think the Irish were more plugged in than I was, honestly.
And do you think that's maybe a consequence of people just being jaded by it in the States, or that it's kind of so febrile that some people just don't want to talk about it?
Nah, I think they talk about it just as much. I think when I go back to Ireland, I'm just like a focus point for people because they want to get like my take because I'm over there. But here's the thing, man. The news, it's all international, you know? Like in America, they're not hearing about the Year of the Invitation. But in Ireland...
Not yet, Des. Not yet. Yeah. I mean, we only announced it today. Give us a bloody chance, will you?
No, but you know what I mean. Like in Ireland and everywhere in the world, everybody seems to be very plugged into American politics right now. So I don't have a take because my take is the same as your take because you are getting the same information. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you probably know more about it all than me because of the job that you do. So it's kind of like... It's just the international media focuses on American politics almost as much as the American media does, because there's no such thing as American media. It's all just international media now.
Do you think that, like, it seems like we've learned nothing in terms of coverage from kind of 2016 to 2020? You know, every time he opened his mouth, there's kind of exhaustive coverage of everything he said. And then at the end of it, we all looked back and went, you know, we probably lost the run of ourselves reporting breathlessly everything he said, you know, when it was just stream of consciousness stuff. Sometimes. And then last week, I find us doing kind of report after report on whether Donald Trump was going to single-handedly invade Greenland.
Well, yeah, well, that was bonk. I mean, honestly, I am jaded with, like, I just can't even engage with some of the insanity. The only thing I can engage in is my own thoughts of just that's just a cover to have people talking about other things. Of course, the consensus here amongst what I consider rational people, and I mean rational people on the right and the left, okay? Because I'm just like so sick of the divided nature of the whole thing, and the internet is just a cesspool of chaos and anger. But I think the rational take is that Trump is very good at the Greenland stuff and all that. This is just a distraction from the fact that, like, he's not going to be able to achieve all the promises that he made, because all politicians promise too much. But the extreme populism of Donald Trump, I mean, he was promising the sun, moon, and the stars to anyone who's right-leaning, and there's just no way he could achieve all of that. So it just changed the focus immediately after the election. Like, for example, nobody's talking about Haitians eating cats and dogs. Like, that story's just gone. Like, that's how quick the media is.
It's gone the way of the gathering. Like, I mean, you know, if you said, what's that place with the cats and dogs? I'd be like, oh, what was it again?
But you know what I mean? You know the way that was just an all-consuming story, to the point where, like, I couldn't get enough of, like, TikTok songs being made out of, you know, they're eating the cats. And now it's just, like, gone. And that whole town of Ohio, their life was just upended for the benefit of this moment in politics. And now they just live with the after effects of that. And we're all on to Greenland, which is just nonsense. And then Charlie Kirk and Donald Trump Jr. are over there, like, making it seem like it's a real thing. It's absolutely crazy. Like, you have to hand it to the kind of, like, okay, here's a point. Have you noticed that they're no longer saying mainstream media? They're saying legacy media. Have you noticed that?
No. Okay. What's behind that change?
Because they're not the mainstream media anymore. They used to be, and now they're the legacy media. Because if you look at the podcast charts, the thing is, the Irish podcast charts, you're probably going to see, like, the Irish top 10. But if you look at the American podcast charts, like, 7 of the 10 main podcasts are, like, right lean, like Megyn Kelly, Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro. And again, I have no people want to. I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't be. But what I am suggesting is that they are the mainstream media. They are the main news providers, right? And this side of the media is talking seriously about Greenland and taking over the Panama Canal, and just all the airspace is taken away from, like, real conversations, because real political conversations are boring. But the problem is that the boring media doesn't stand a chance anymore. So the people that are trying to hold on to some semblance of, like, ethos, they're just getting washed away by the chaos media, which is now the mainstream media.
It's, you know, when we've the Program for Government published today, I was going to say, we're having those boring conversations. That's not much of a forward sell for the rest of the show, but there you go.
But they should matter. And listen, even back in the day, my mother used to come to Ireland, and she'd come on the road with me, and we'd have Irish radio on, News Talk, other stations. And she would always say, God, Irish radio is so much better. The truth is that I always say to people that European media, obviously people are going to complain, you know, and say it's biased and all that, but European media is holding on to the ethos a lot longer. Whether they can hold, I don't know, but they're holding on to it longer than in the States. Like, even, like, there's still, for example, there's still confrontational interviews with politicians, not disrespectful ones, but the type of interviews that you should have with a politician. The only time you get confrontational interviews now is at these congressional hearings, where one side is brutal and the other side, you know, they basically say you're the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But, like, that kind of confrontational energy is actually what media is meant to be. And then you see if the politicians can handle it. But that's almost gone now. The only people, if you watch, like, MSNBC and all these networks that are dying, like Meet the Press on NBC, you know, you'll see the clips online afterwards, and they'll create talking points for, you know, the cycle to run for a day or two. But, like, nobody's watching those things. They're not watching the full interview. They're not watching a journalist try to get to the core of an issue. Like, those days are gone. And in the end, it doesn't matter, because take example, I know I'm over talking now, but take, for example, the LA wildfires, right?
Yeah.
So a humongous amount of information comes out, a lot of it misinformation. But by the time you get into the nitty gritty of what's true and what isn't, the side that wants to believe their stuff will continue to believe their stuff. The side that wants to believe the other stuff will continue. So it doesn't really matter because everyone just picks and chooses what they need and then they're gone. So the truth is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It really is irrelevant.
But that's one of the features, isn't it, of when you get this tribalism, is that absolutely everything then people have to kind of stake out territory on, including kind of a wildfire, something as unpredictable and as chaotic as kind of a burning trees and bushes suddenly becomes kind of part of the political culture wars.
Well, there's nothing. Nothing is safe. Everything is part of that now. Because not only do you have the tribalism, but you also have an exceptionally profitable online media industry that needs to be fed. Like, feed me, Seymour. I need something else to pontificate about. But, and obviously you know that, every radio show needs something to pontificate about, but they need stuff that they can just rile up the audience again, and they have no fact-checking. Right. And obviously, I know that was a big story with Facebook this week, but there's just no, they don't need, there's no blowback. I mean, that whole industry has loved to catch the New York Times, the Washington Post, loves catching them out on their mistakes. Right. And that's good. That's like the one part of their job that they do correct is when there's a genuine media bias that hasn't been reported truthfully, they will find it. But they pay absolutely no heed to anybody calling them out on what is, I would say, 80% nonsense from that side of the internet. But unfortunately, you only get skepticism from the people that like traditional media. Mm. You don't get skepticism of the new media from the people that think that the new media is finally telling the truth. So that's the issue. There's skepticism only come in one way.
How do you kind of navigate that tribalism, like that if everything falls victim of it, so does comedy, I assume. So I mean, can you navigate it, or are you forced, like everybody else it seems, kind of in the public eye, to nail political colors to the mast,
pick a side?
Yeah,
well, it's funny, I met up with a comic I really appreciate, this comic called Matt Ruby. I actually met up with him yesterday literally to have this conversation, because he's been putting out these like very rational, essentially unpopular takes. And when I say unpopular, what I mean is like the algorithm is not going to go, they're going to get angry about this. Let's push it. Right. Mm. But when he talks, I'm like, yeah, bro, that's what I think, you know, that, you know. And so I met him yesterday to be like, I still think we're in the majority, right? Like, I still think that the everyday person thinks in generally in line, like within the sort of the gray area between right and left, that's sort of like very broad center. I think that we're still the majority, but the internet and the media and the social media is not interested in those takes. So we consume all the extreme takes, right? For our own entertainment, we get riled up like everybody else. But then our boring takes, like the one I'm giving you now, you've probably lost half of your listenership, our nonsensical, rational takes just don't get any burn. Because here's the thing. You can't do it in 90 seconds. You can't do it in a snippet. Mm. And you can't – the conspiracy stuff is so much more satisfying, you know? Like there's a bit of truth in this and there's a bit of truth in that. It just doesn't fly. Like I was going to do a video and I stopped myself because I was like, you know what? I just don't want to be in the middle of the culture war. Honestly, I'd say 80% of the time I don't put up a video that I'm thinking about because I'm like, you know what? Who cares? I don't need the drama in my life. But I was going to put up a video being like, hey, I think it's great that you're skeptical of the legacy media. Okay. But I guarantee you, if you actually hired a company to do a truthful, objective look at the honesty in the legacy media versus the honesty in the media that you're looking at, I promise you, there would be no competition in terms of how much more honest the legacy media is. And that's not to say they're totally honest, but how much more honest they are compared to your media. I was going to post something like that, but then I was like, nah, no way. I'm not getting into it. Because, you know, it'll just, if it takes off, then you're just into all the comments and everybody believes what they want to believe. You're not changing anybody's mind. So I'd rather just make people laugh with my boomer humor. That's why I lean hard on nostalgia. You know, I lean hard on nostalgia now because I'm like, you know what? The Trump supporters and the hard left, they all love the nostalgia. So I go hard on that. And I do indulge in my own politics a bit, but I don't go hard on it because I don't want the drama.
Boomer humor galore in lately. I mentioned 26th, limited tickets available for 28th in the Olympia, sold out, but an extra date added on the 27th. So ticketmaster.ie, and you'll find details of the handful of tickets maybe left for a few other gigs while Des is on tour here from next week onwards. Des Bishop, it is always a pleasure, and thanks a million for chatting to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.